Hey, thank you for joining us for another week of He Touched Me. So enjoyed this series, and I hope you have as well. You know, whenever the Lord comes and He touches, there is a joy that is so supersedes happiness. You know, happiness, it comes from the word hap, and which was we also get happen. And people just say they want a happy life. Well, that just happens now and then. But when Jesus touched you, there's a joy that comes in and doesn't leave. It's there because the Lord is there. It's there because Jesus Christ has placed it there. And it actually transcends your current circumstance. It's greater than the problem that you might be having. It's greater than the success that you're having in the moment. And it all is all because of Jesus. In fact, today we're going to look at a story where one day Jesus enters a woman's everyday. You know, maybe you're the kind of person that when you come to the end of your weekend, you're going, oh no, it's Monday. It's only Wednesday, or yay, it's Friday. And when you know that Jesus comes into your everyday world, it changes everything. And we pray that that happens to you. And we're going to read from the book of Luke today, the 13th chapter, and read of a story it's going to challenge you, and I think it's going to bring you to a point of decision will either allow that joy to come in or keep it at bay. So let's read it together. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she would glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which you ought to work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And he said these things. As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, in this story, what you find is that there's an action by Jesus, then there's this reception, this reaction, and then rejoicing.
Yes, indeed. It is a great story. Yeah. And I love the, you know, this woman's everyday world was really a difficult world. You mentioned he comes one day into her everyday world, but then this change becomes an everyday kind of change, which is, of course, what we want for ourselves, what we want for all of those that hear us, that the Lord loves and cares for. And so it's a powerful thing. But her world for 18 years has grown to become a really difficult kind of place where she's literally bowed over. Her view of the world has literally been changed and altered by this disabling spirit. It's a tremendously dramatic kind of story. And imagine how dramatic the moment is when she's able to stand. And so that's really, it's because of the action of Jesus. It's because, in this series, it's because he touched her. And so it's a neat kind of thing. He's there. It's a synagogue. It's not his synagogue. This is not the place where he goes to worship. This is the place where she goes. And interestingly to me, this is a woman who goes there in spite of her affliction, in spite of these issues. It cannot be easy, you know, when you're bowed over a little bit. It's just not easy when you're in just a little bit of pain. It's remarkable to me how people miss church for pretty much anything. But in this woman's world, she's there. She's not letting this affliction get in the way of her service for the Lord, which I you know, religious as she is, she's a devout religious person. And And Jesus actually identifies her at one point as a daughter of Abraham. So and obviously values her. So when he sees her, he beholds her. It's not hard to see her. I mean, well, I guess it is because she's half the size of everybody else in the room. She is bowed over. But because of that, it's remarkable. I'm sure people give her room. And there are probably some people superstitious enough that would just back away, you know, because whatever she has, whatever this affliction is. Again, remember that in the Jewish religious world, it was really easy to attach sin to sickness, that everybody who has any affliction has some darkness about them, and that this is the result of that. And so Jesus, seeing her, calls her over. He brings her out into the middle of the situation. He calls attention to her. And now if you're dealing with afflictions and issues and, you know, if you, you know, I mean, come on, sometimes when you get a really bad haircut, it's like, I'm going to put a hat on until Jesus comes, you know, because you don't want anybody to see you. You don't want people to draw to have their attention drawn to your stuff. But this woman has no choice. Jesus, seeing her, calls her over, and instead of just making an issue of her, he just touches her. It's just beautiful. He lays his hands on her, and he tells her to be freed from this spiritual affliction. Now, she was bound, the Bible says, by a spirit of infirmity, this disabling spirit. And so it wasn't just a physical set of issues. It wasn't just a chemical imbalance in her system. But truthfully, when this has been going on for 18 years, there's got to be a lot of physical accommodation that's kind of happened. You know, if you ever have a bad knee and you have to deal with a pain in your knee, it'll alter how you walk. And then you will literally kind of compensate muscular-wise and gait-wise how you walk to the point where if you get well, if you get that knee fixed, all your other stuff's going to start to hurt because you've been accommodating this. What has to happen for this woman? So this miracle is incredibly powerful, that she is not just touched of the Lord, but she is touched and freed from this entire condition, not just the spiritual, but all the physical ramifications of it. And straightening up, she stands there. And of course, what happens? She's like, whoop, whoop. This is, wow, hallelujah. This is Jesus touched me. If anybody's ever singing, He Touched Me, this woman is singing, He Touched Me.
You know, I think it's important for us to understand that, you know, the scriptures record that she was had a disabling spirit for 18 years. And that doesn't mean that everyone that's sick has a spirit attached to their sickness. But it also doesn't mean that every sickness doesn't have a spirit that is attached. I think there's always discernment needed in these areas. And for her, you know, she hears Jesus because Jesus calls her. And so she has to respond to the voice of the Lord. And I think for any touch to ever come to anyone, there's this response to the call of the Lord that has to happen for us. For her, Jesus didn't go to her. He called her to him. And so for her, you know, I don't know what it was like for her to move. It could not have been easy. But she actually moved toward Jesus. And I think that this world offers a lot of barriers, offers a lot of things that would make it seem like it's difficult to move toward Jesus. I think for me, when I think about this lady, this lady is really a picture of what sin does to every person without Jesus. Mm-hmm. It just disables their ability to live life to the fullest, which is why Jesus says, "Well, I have come that you might have a life and have it to the full." Because we end up getting hunched over and looking down. And all she could see was the dirt in front of her. I mean, her ability to look up and enjoy the stars, she would have had to have fallen to the ground and rolled over on her back to enjoy. And the older I get, if I'm going to tie my shoes, I want to do multiple things. Listen, there's a reality of just getting older. But for her, it was so much worse. And I think that before a person moves towards Jesus, that's the place that they're going to live. But she moved because she wanted to receive. She wanted to be free from whatever had been disabling her over these 18 years. So that's what she does. She moves. And you kind of described it. I mean, it's even what it had to have been like for her to straighten up and to be able to move. If it was the heavenly chiropractor that just touched her back in such a way that it straightened up and allowed her to move. But in all of that, with immediate response from that, is that she began to praise and glorify God, because she knew that what touched her was not what she had been able to look at her entire life. That which that she had just experienced allowed her now to live life in a manner that she had not been able to do for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that's always the response when he touches. You can't help but praise and glorify God. Why? Because now you have a deposited joy that the natural expression of that is praise and glorifying God.
Yeah, it's an awesome reality. The scripture says it this way, as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. Mm-hmm. He would give it to others. The call of the Lord goes out, whosoever will may come, but everybody doesn't come.
Right.
You know, and so it's when the Lord reaches out to someone, when he acts in a way toward you and acts on behalf of us, he's done that. He gave his life to take away the effect and the judgment and the control and the fear of sin and death. He's won this amazing victory. And it's a for whosoever will. Everybody can experience this. Everybody who will. There's the key. Everybody who will. And so there's the beauty of this woman's, you know, it's not just the activity of Christ. It's not just what he does, the action of Christ, the call of Christ. It is also this willingness to respond, this receptivity, this reception that is in her spirit at some level of cost, as you said, you know, to just, but then, you know, whoop, here we are, that the Lord has touched us, the Lord has moved. And so this rejoicing, this sharing, and indeed, because this is public, because this is in the middle of her synagogue, because this is her world, and these are people who know her. These people have opinions about her. These are people who maybe are friends of hers, or perhaps adversaries, or, you know, probably mostly neutral toward her and her situation. But they all have eyes, mm-hmm. and they all have an opportunity to see and experience in this moment what has happened to her. And so while she's receiving, while she's just kind of woo about this whole thing, you know, here's this impact. There's this ripple in the room, if you will, of reaction. And it's kind of an interesting thing, because there's part of what we want to just underline for everyone today is that, you know, it's not just one reaction. It's not just one opportunity about how to respond. There's just many ways as there are humans, and how you choose is really up to you. It is interesting in the story that the religious ruler, the ruler of the synagogue, the guy who runs the show, who plans the meetings, who's in charge and large, you know, this is the man, his reaction is an intriguing reaction. He doesn't rebuke Jesus. He doesn't rebuke the woman, technically. He just chews everybody out. He makes a look, I'm in charge, so I'm going to make a speech to everybody. You know, I'm just going to tell everybody what you want to do or not do. And his reaction comes out something like this. Look, you all have, right? He sees what's happened, obviously, but instead of reacting to what he has seen in a rejoicing kind of a way, in a receptive kind of way, he reacts in a corrective kind of way. You guys, here's his lie. You guys have 6 days, other days in the week that you could come and be healed, which is interesting. He's effectively saying, look, this guy apparently has the power to heal everybody. And so look at that. Here's what he's able to do. But this is the Sabbath day, and we don't do this on the Sabbath day. You know, you're not allowed to do that here right now. And so y'all have 6 days in which you can come and be healed. Come and be healed on those 6 days. So he tries to correct. He tries to control the environment. There's the reality of what religions do. Religions are really incredibly complex, you know, but with corrections and controls. And, you know, I remember the first time I ever grabbed a book off of a shelf on healing, because from the beginning, the Lord just revealed himself to me, and I got the Bible and I read it and I got excited about everything the Lord was doing. And so, and he was doing it. I was just believing. I had no reason not to believe. I had no religious history. I had no religious training at all. So I hadn't been taught all the bad ways. I hadn't been taught any of the good ways either. So, but without religion, there's not a whole lot of the restrictions. There's not a whole lot of these corrections or controls. So the first time I got a book on healing, it was like, oh, that's a good thing. I'll get a book on healing, because Jesus heals the sick, and I'm praying for the sick all the time, and I'm believing God to heal me when I'm sick, and it's a part of this powerful ministry of Christ. So God is glorified in this way. Let's do this. So I read this book on healing, and it was so religious. It was so, you know, well, here's the like six steps, and here's the this and that. And, and the interesting thing was, you do this, and then 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 you do this. And then in the last chapter, it's, now if you get this far and you didn't get healed, you did something wrong. So go back. You know, or, I mean, it was like this disclaimer. I wish I'd have read the last chapter first. Because it's this disclaimer, you know, we're canceling all of this kind of thing because it's about your own efforts, this control, this restriction that he's trying to place on everybody. That's his reaction. That's the reaction of the ruler at the synagogue. But it's really, it's kind of like religion's limitations at some level too. Because what can religion do for you? Free you? No. Religion will restrict you. Religion will correct you. Religion will certainly seek to instruct you, tell you what you can and you cannot do. It's pretty clear. It's kind of interesting to me when people come to the Lord from, you know, a place of having no faith and no religious background and no religious history at all. Those who have that background kind of feel compelled to instruct them. Really early on. By now, you ought to know that we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with girls who do and all of the kind of things that go with that. But here's the reality. That's the religiousness in us all. And religion, when it comes to the real relationship with God, isn't a friend. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of an adversary. It's a shouting adversary. It's the rebuking adversary. It's the ruler of the synagogue who jumps up. And when he sees the same thing that everybody else says, he chooses to correct everybody. He chooses to define everything that's been done in terms of his religious, tidy little world. There are 6 days when there's no Sabbath, but we don't work on the Sabbath, and healing is work on the Sabbath. And so here's the control that we want to put on your life. Here are the restrictions. You got to know where the lanes are. You got to know what the rules and the regulations are. What a powerfully pathetic world in which to live. When you're confronted with this amazing moment, you act with this religious restrictive attitude.
I think that's why it's a reaction, because we react to things that hit us the wrong way. So you can find yourself getting into that religious mode when you have this. Somebody needs to correct them. Somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to help them. Did you see what they posted on Facebook? There's no good kind of Christian that would ever post that kind of thing. It's a reaction. And a reaction's different than responding, because the reaction has everything to do with what you're doing to me. And religion is about me, because I've built up the way I do my religion. And when someone comes and does something against that, then there's a problem. But the beautiful thing that Jesus did is where you know, the reaction is restrictive, and it's more about the person who's laying the religion out than the person that's affecting. Jesus went, no, it's about relationship, because religion can't value the individual. And Jesus did a wonderful thing of placing value upon this lady by calling her a daughter of Abraham. You'll notice that in John, when they started to push back of Jesus, that, well, we're followers of Moses. They identified with their fathers. And an identification of your father was part of your identity of being a God person. and belonging to God. And so Jesus is saying to her that, hey, this is a daughter of Abraham. She is precious in God's sight. And religion never stops the preciousness, or religion does stop the preciousness of a person, but the relationship always values that person. And of course, that more than just the religious people, because there were more than the director that was there, because the scripture goes on and says that basically put all the people to shame that were against him in that moment. And that there are other people, though, that were watching. And this was the crowd that ultimately, they ended up glorifying God and praising for all the things that were done, because they saw the very same thing that the religious saw the very same thing that the woman saw. But for them, it was more than what they saw. They heard the interaction between what Jesus said in his calling the woman, then touching, but then the response to the religious leader, who ultimately was demeaning, who was making the woman less than she should be in God's sight. They took all of that in, and ultimately they do what all of us do. They evaluated. They looked, and they made an internal decision based on the information that was before them. And I think that there are people that that they're going to get to heaven, and the Lord is going to say, I gave you plenty of opportunities to evaluate me, and yet you chose me not. Go away from me. Because in Romans, it just says that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. How is it that we live in a universe that can have at the center point of this universe, have a heat and life source that can take care of a planet that is the third planet from that source and stay just far enough away to make sure it doesn't get too hot and yet not get too far so it gets so cold? Well, you know, science has all the different reasons for their explanations. Ultimately, it's because God created it that way. How is it that we live in a universe that has a planet called Saturn that has such a gravitational pull that all the space junk end up in Saturn and not on your and I's front porch? Because God created that way. The whole earth is filled with his glory, because that scripture really ultimately talks about God's ability to hold things together. So every man, it will be without excuse. But then I think about the doctors who had to sit down with somebody and talk to them about the results of their test, and then come back later and say these words that are often said by doctors that are, well, I don't understand what has happened, but the cancer's gone. The God makes himself known, and we all are at a place where we have to evaluate. Yeah. And your religion can easily explain away everything that God puts before you. But if you answer the call, if you say yes and you move towards the call, then the end result's going to be rejoicing. And for them, that whole crowd, they were filled with joy because they looked at the way it had always been done. They looked at their own life, and they looked at the opportunity being Jesus that was there in their midst, and the things that he was doing and how he was changing life by touching people. And not just through physical touch, but by the touch of a word, affirming that woman by calling her the daughter of Abraham, they couldn't help but rejoice and glorify God. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that God does want to enter your everyday world. And I like the way you said it, because it'll change every day after that. And so that's our prayer for you today. Would you kind of close us out in prayer today?
Yes. Father, thank you for everyone that we have the opportunity to share this with today. We know, Lord God, that you touched this woman. We rejoice that you touched her in such a powerful way on that one day. But there is an everyday availability of all that you've provided for us, that we can look at who you are, we can evaluate how you are, and we can hear this clear call of the Spirit of God to us today to come, to move toward you, to believe in you, to receive from you the things that you have. And so, Lord God, we just pray. We pray that nothing religious will get in the way. Nothing restrictive, no lying accusation from the enemy will keep anybody who hears these words from responding in faith, from responding in movement toward you, from responding and receiving the things that come from the Lord's touch, and then the rejoicing that goes with that. We just rejoice with them who rejoice. We pray blessing and freedom and gracious empowerment over each and every one today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for watching us today. Hey, take a moment, give us a thumbs up or thumbs down on Facebook, subscribe to us weekly. Also, if are on YouTube, but on Facebook, like us and share us and share it with somebody who you know will be blessed by this talk today. God bless. We look forward to seeing you soon.